Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What you want to know, and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two of Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Chad Chambers producing for us and joining us for our weekly visit on all things K-State, Tim Fitzgerald. Fitz, as we look back, it's my birthday today, and you probably have some good insight on this. I don't have a good midlife crisis. I need to cook one up. Any suggestions on a good... I'm too chicken for a motorcycle. I don't drive fast, so a car's not going to do it. I can already bet on sports now, so that's not going to be it. Like, I can't think of one. I need to come up with something.
Buy excessive amounts of men's clothing, like nice suit jackets. And look, redo your look, man.
That would be good.
I don't know what your look is, but freshen. We buy clothes, and then we wear them for, 10 years. I went through this. I bought so many clothes that I look fantastic in my own eye. But, my wife's not happy with how much I bought.
That would be interesting
have an idea.
because I wear the same thing every day this time of year.
I did have an idea during the break of something you could do, Jacob, for a midlife crisis. To me, you seem like a gold chain kind of guy. Like, if you got gaudy gold chain and just wore that everywhere. And sometimes you don't need to wear anything else but just the gold chain, right?
Yeah.
The gold chain and nothing else. Yeah. I'll get my wife's thoughts on that. You're talking to a guy.
How about this? Wichita's thong guy, gold chain thong everywhere you go.
My wife found and threw away my Speedo, so I don't know that she'd go for that. I'm still so devastated by that. I don't have it anymore. I had one. She found it and she threw it away. And so I no longer have a Speedo. So maybe I do up the game. Yeah. You all right? Throw away my Speedo. I'm going to be a thong guy now. That's a good idea. That's a pretty good idea. Maybe we will go with that.
Just go full Euro. I think that's good.
That'll teach her. Fitz, let's talk K-State hoops first. The season's over. Disappointing end. Tough way to go. I want to start, though, with yesterday's news. I was surprised by Ish Masood. Were you or people closer to the program surprised that he's going to, play one more year somewhere else?
Surprised, yeah, a little bit I was. But at the end of the day, it kind of makes sense for both parties. I think Ish probably wants, everyone wants to play more. And he's capable of that at the right place. But I don't think he quite fit what K-State needs at that spot. If you're going to play as small as K-State does at times, your four's got to be physical, a good defender to go with the offense. And if you notice down the stretch, to maximize the ability of the team, they were doing a lot of offense-defense substitutions with Ish Masood coming in to be a shooter and then whenever possible to come out on the defense end and rebounding. And, I think they probably felt like they needed a more flexible player that could do a little bit more than just shoot the three because, guys, honestly, I loved Ish, and he was deadly from three last season. But once you got him to put the ball on the floor, his shooting percentage dropped dramatically. And he had moments of good defense and rebounding, but overall he was a liability on that end of the floor.
Going back to the Elite Eight matchup with Florida Atlantic, you know, you and I have talked about this a few different times. I've asked you about it. But I realized in watching the game that the whole narrative and the conversation that I've brought up throughout the season of who can be that third player to step up outside of Marquise Noel and Keyontae Johnson might have been the wrong way to look at it. And it should have been, and from my perspective, more of what happens if one of those two goes down. And, you know, I had that concern, of course, with the ankle injury that Marquise Noel suffered during the Michigan State game, but then even more so when Keyontae Johnson was in foul trouble against Florida Atlantic. And it really seemed like, you know, at that point it was basically Marquise Noel trying to will the team to victory, and there wasn't a whole lot of other options outside of him. What was your takeaway on that? I mean, I know that it was obviously crucial to not have Keyontae on the floor in those clutch moments, but did you notice that as well? Did you think that they just kind of turned into, especially down the stretch in the second half, it was Marquise Noel just trying to draw contact to get to the line, and there really wasn't a whole lot else going on outside of him?
Well, yeah, I mean, Keyontae's absence, you know, playing, 18 minutes of that game because of foul trouble certainly was a huge issue. But at the end of the day, it didn't matter who was on the court. They got out-rebounded 44-22. That's just a stunning number. And it wasn't just the rebounding. I mean, it was the second chance points. It was giving up the free throw rebounds towards the end of the game. They give up, you know, two offensive rebounds to FAU on missed free throws. So they just – they didn't get to the loose balls. They got beat consistently to those loose balls. And at the end of the day, I think without Keyontae on the court, it wasn't that they didn't have options. They just didn't use the options very well. And also, you just look back at the game, they had some really easy shots that they just missed. I mean, Desi Sills has a layup and he misses it. The ball comes off the rim and K-State fouls immediately, 4-point swing. Same thing happened with Nakon Tomlin. This is Bunny, foul, 4-point swing. They just weren't good enough. And if they'd played a little bit better, they would have easily overcome Keyontae's foul trouble. They would have easily overcome some of these issues. But again, this is the third straight Elite Eight in which Kansas State has survived a war in the Sweet 16. And then I think just kind of let up when they saw a lesser team in their minds in the Elite Eight and have lost now to Butler, Loyola Chicago, and FAU in the Elite Eight after double overtime game, a war with Kentucky in 2018, an overtime game with Michigan State. It's frustrating, but boy, they had their opportunities despite how the game was called, despite how the foul trouble played out.
Let's look ahead to next year, Fitz. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, joining us here each and every Thursday on the show. How quickly and how much do you think it's changed? You know, we saw the recruiting class coming in. We all, you know, liked the recruiting class coming in. Everything changed with this portal class, and it makes me wonder, like, how much does the priority change now for this program to go be ultra aggressive again in the portal and build a team in a similar way that they did this year and not just wait on this young class to come through and be awesome? Yeah.
That's a really good point. You know, we've talked so much through the year about how he had two returning players and added 11. It's not the same thing, but it will be for the fans. They're down to three guys who played this year and they're going to add 10. And three or four of them are redshirts, or in the case of Dorian Finister, a guy that didn't play but like six games early in the season. I think they would like to try to get a medical redshirt on him if possible. I don't know. So there's four guys essentially redshirting or didn't see action. Three signees, and they're now going to bring in three portal guys. That's 10 new guys that fans really didn't see much of, if at all. And I think you're right. They know they need maybe another post presence, maybe a more a big man that could run the floor while not being a defensive and rebounding liability. And I think that's what the departure of Ish represents, an opportunity to go get that. They want probably a veteran point guard to go with those young perimeter players, the three incredible freshmen they have coming in. But we've learned from this college basketball season, trying to lean on freshmen in the as this college game ages for a year or two more is dangerous, and probably a wing player that could fill it up because you've lost a big chunk of your three-point shooting now.
So earlier this week, Gene Taylor voted the athletic director of the year by his peers. And man, looking at the two major hires that he made with Chris Kleiman and of course, Jerome Tang, those two hires, and I want to get your overall take on this. Those two hires not only turned out to be incredible hires for Kansas State, but looking back on them, both are very, very gutsy hires from Gene Taylor. I mean, grabbing Chris Kleiman from an FCS school, getting Jerome Tang with no prior head coaching experience, and then seeing the way that, you know, this season, especially with the Big 12 championship in football, and then, of course, the Elite Eight run for basketball, I think it makes Gene Taylor a no-brainer for the Athletic Director of the Year. But, you know, as we look back on both of those hires and the success that we've seen from both football and basketball, talk a little bit about, you know, the overall you know, thoughts on Gene Taylor and how deserving he is of that award.
It's a great point. And it's pretty amazing what he has accomplished at Kansas State with a really laid back style. I mean, he's not a outwardly aggressive athletics director. He's not cocky and brash. He doesn't seek the sunlight like a lot of ADs do. He just doesn't have that kind of ego. And, you know, it's one thing to go hire football and basketball coaches, your two moneymakers, that have success together. That's incredible in itself. But he also went out and found two guys that fit the culture of Kansas State extremely well and seem to be very happy to be at Kansas State, not just because they're getting a big paycheck, but because they genuinely love Kansas State. The way he pulled off both of these things is absolutely incredible. And I don't know of I can't think of another case of an AD doing that. Now, maybe one of them picks up and leaves after, you know, next sports season, but I don't see that. As long as they can fiscally take care of them and make them happy, and fend off any kind of threats from the outside in terms of other schools trying to hire him, I think these guys want to stay. They want to build something long-term at Kansas State. And boy, that's unique in this day and age, and he found two guys that can win and want to stay. Incredible.
Fitz, it is incredible, and it was gutsy and risky, right? Like, you know, Gene Taylor, and he would have probably been okay with Jerome Tang if that didn't work out because Chris Kleiman has worked out. But I think something else he's done is retained Chris Kleiman and got him paid, and he's very likely going to have to do that for Jerome Tang now too. He was able to do it once. How quickly do you think that needs to happen? Like, how quickly do they need to swoop in and make like a don't ever leave us kind of a contract offer to Jerome Tang?
It's my understanding that there's no sense of urgency from either party right now. You know, there's no pressure from Tang's side. We got to get something new. He's busy trying to build his team for next year. I'm confident that will happen. They'll make sure the contract is, you know, what it should be. But my feedback is that they're in a good to go mode right now. They're just going to go about their business until maybe there's a calmer moment where a distraction of renegotiating a contract, even if it's through your agent, isn't taking place. Jerome Tang's locked in on building his basketball team for next year right now.
How do you, I know I always, you know, ask you for superlatives on Jerome Tang, and now that the season is actually done and it's complete, it's wrapped up and looking ahead to next season, how do you even put into words the impact that Jerome Tang has made, not just with the program, but I would say at a global scale, with the university as a whole, with the fan base as a whole, the K-State community in general. He seems like somebody that this season he's been able to come in and galvanize and unite the entire K-State community.
People love him. They genuinely do, and it's not because he won basketball games. I'm sure that accentuates everything and magnifies it, but his goodness just shines brightly. And I know that sounds corny, but for a guy, let's take my position, going through a lot in life, health-wise, To have that in your workspace, to have that kind of positive energy and goodness about what you do, while not just being someone that's, soft about everything. A guy that also, while he's good and kind to everyone around him, also kind of demands and brings out the best in everyone. So me personally, I have felt that. And honestly, bluntly, it's hard sometimes to separate that from doing my job, because there will be rougher times for this basketball program. And we all know that at some point. It's not all going to be like this. So it's been pretty miraculous and a blessing for the K-State community.
Let's talk spring football here, Fitz. Tim Fitzgerald, go powercat.com, at Life of Fitz on Twitter. We've largely ignored spring football. I know it's happening. How is it looking for K-State? How quickly are some of the young players acclimating? What's it like? Because we've almost paid no attention to it so far, but we'll begin to now as the basketball season's done.
I'm not a big spring football guy. I'm on the same page as Chris Kleiman. It's practice, and it's often practice missing a lot of key elements. So many players, it's not as bad as last year where they had to move, a long snapper to defensive end to practice. It's not nearly that bad, but they still have a lot of guys out from postseason surgeries. So it's very watered down. It's an opportunity for a lot of young guys. What is intact is their quarterback room, and their quarterback room is really impressive. You've got a guy like Will Howard coming back who is – just guys, he's massive. I asked Colin Klein yesterday, is there a point of this quarterback getting too big? Because he's not fat. He's just, he's 6'5", and I don't know what his weight is now, 240 plus, mostly muscle, but he did say he wants him to lean out. Jake Rubley's there. Avery Johnson's there. Adrian Lara, last year's freshman, who we don't talk much about and Colin raved about, is there. So I'm on the same page as Chris Klein. He doesn't like spring football games, and honestly, years of watching Bill Snyder try to play a game without showing anyone anything and making it incredibly boring just kind of broke me on spring games. Just go have a practice, and that's exactly what he thinks. I wish Kansas State would do a spring football celebration, maybe tied into that last practice with some skill events and a carnival and just kind of a family celebration, a family gathering. But spring games, God, they're boring and mostly useless, particularly in this digital age when anyone with a phone can record everything you put on the field. So you don't put anything on the field of substance, then why have it? Then you're wasting a practice.
What about the NFL draft? We're less than a month away in Kansas City from the NFL draft. And, I know that Felix and Aduke Uzama and a couple of others from Kansas State gone through the combine and that whole process. Are you hearing any rumblings or anything regarding at least Aduke Uzama and kind of what the projections are for him in the draft?
I'll be really honest. I'm really confused about all of the guys, the three main guys for K-State right now. I've heard Felix as high as the first round and as low as like the fourth round. Julius Brents has risen so high, but I don't think he's broken the first round barrier. But boy, a 6'3 corner that can run and cover, elite receivers that did the things he did at the combine, et cetera, it's hard to find. I won't be surprised if he bleeds into the first round. And what do we do with Deuce Vaughn? I saw a projection of him going like in the sixth round, fifth round. I'm like, I don't think he's going to last that long. Granted, he's a tiny guy but if he's going to be taking punts and kicks to show his catching ability at K-State's Pro Day tomorrow. And, if you can find someone that is more than a gadget guy, a special teams guy, I can see a team like Kansas City Chiefs reaching up into the third round for Deuce Vaughn and saying, well, we can have fun with you. It just takes one. It's kind of like me getting married. I'm not an attractive man, but it found one hot chick that said, hey, that's my guy. That's all it takes in the NFL. One franchise to say, you're our guy. And next thing you know, you've been married and you twitch a lot. I'm sorry, I got off track there. But yeah, no, I'm excited to see what happens with these three guys. All of them could be early, and all of them could slide further than we thought.
How what are you hearing about Avery Johnson? Do you think he can play any role next year if Will Howard is as good as he was this year? Like, is there a role for him if Will Howard continues in his development?
I think Avery's role this year will be kind of like what Will's was supposed to be last year, in that you can play four games, but we're going to redshirt you unless we absolutely need you. And he still needs to prove that, you know, he's got that kind of value and worth, but everything we're hearing is he's just got some unmatched talent that, you know, nobody on the roster can, you know, equal in terms of quarterback playmaking and kind of what Colin Klein seeks at that position. But for the most part, I think they'll go with Jake Rubley and Adrian Lara as the backups, unless, you know, they really get into a jam. And maybe by midseason, like last year, if the number one quarterback, in this case, Will Howard, has an injury, maybe that's, they say, well, we can't sit him out. We can't waste the season. We're going to play him. Well, we'll see. But he's got a long ways to go. He's put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle mass. He looks bigger already. And he's going to need that meat on his bones not to get broken with the way he plays. Because, boy, this kid can run. I mean, Colin Klein said it yesterday. There's no doubt who's the fastest guy in the room. Avery Johnson can get up and move.
He's... He's a heck of an athlete, and he's going to be a star. He's like front and center on, you know, some ESPN article right now. I think people are going to enjoy him. But, you know, Will Howard's a look. If all goes well for Will Howard this year with his size and what we saw last year, I think we're talking about a pretty attractive NFL prospect next year. There's a lot on the line for Will Howard, and that brings me to my last question about football. Who's he going to throw the ball to? Are we confident in the group of pass catchers there coming into next year?
Yeah, you know, they've got transfers. They've got Bill Brooks back, R.C. Garcia coming in, you know. I just have a feeling this kid's going to turn into something. You got a Lockett that might make the field. I don't know. Sterling's got a little, you know, some more work on his size and mass to kind of survive. That it will be an ongoing issue, but after, you know, talking to some players, I think they feel like there's answers there. But boy, I do agree with you, Jacob. That receiver room is an area that this program really needs to upgrade. And maybe now that they showed that they want to throw the ball with Will Howard, they're going to be able to. But you know, when you got Ben Sennett is his Travis Kelce. Let's put it that way. It's his comfort zone, and he's got a tight end that can go get open, and he loves to throw the ball to him. So there's always that to fall back on. I kind of feel like it's almost like the Chiefs. You lost this piece. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to find out, you know, figure out who could be your receivers. But I still got my tight end, and that's kind of probably what Will Howard feels like.
All right, Fitz. Well, we know that at Go Power Cat, you guys will have us all covered on these off seasons. What do you guys have up right now since we're through March Madness?
Yeah, well, we put up a podcast this morning. We've got some recruiting coverage that's up, and we're getting ready to record the first edition of a new video podcast, which our Cole Carmody interviews former K-State athletes, K-State football players, and we'll start with Skylar Thompson. So you can hear my dogs barking as Cole arrives.
They know what time it is. All right, Fitz, we appreciate it. Be good. Follow Fitz. Go Power Cat. At Life of Fitz on Twitter. We'll talk again next week.
Hey, boys. Thanks.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. Always appreciate those visits here on Sports Daily. Hey, the Super Mario Brothers movie is hitting theaters soon. We've got a pair of tickets for an early screening over at Boulevard Theaters, Town West Square. That'll be Thursday, April 6th at 7 o'clock. When you can catch that, Thursday, April 6th, 7 o'clock, we got a pair of tickets for you right now to the first caller, 869-1240. You can get your hands on that pair of tickets. Jad will take that, and we'll be back with more Sports Daily right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Pearl Jam for you here on this Thursday, opening day of Major League Baseball. Happy opening day to all those who celebrate, which should be everybody. This ought to be a national holiday. Thankfully, we have all the teams opening on the same day, which is the way it should be. I've never really liked the playing one game at night or whatever and trying to... It's opening day, man. It's got to be opening day for everybody. You got, excuse me, games on all day long. You know, it's one of those days where you really can just watch any baseball game, at least for me. That doesn't always hold true with baseball. I get that. Let's talk about these rule changes, Tommy. I think that we are about to have a better television baseball product than maybe we've ever had before. I love these rule changes. I love what they're accomplishing. Speeding up the game. You know, Major League Baseball put out some numbers, and the pitch clock has apparently last year in the minor leagues, you know, sped games up by upwards of 25-26%. That's cutting 45 minutes off of a three-hour baseball game. Tommy, that would be the greatest thing that ever happened to baseball. We know the shift is going to likely put more balls in play. We know the pitch clock, along with bigger bases and a limit on pickoff attempts, will increase stolen bases. Like, all of these things. And I think back for us around here, I think back to the Royals, right, in their little 3-4 year stretch, including two World Series appearances and one World Series championships. I think one of the great things about that team and why they were so much fun is because they were so much fun to watch. Why? They stole bases. They played great defense. They put the ball in play. Like, they were the antithesis of the way baseball was trending, and it worked. Well, now I think there's more room for that. And quite frankly, I just think it's a better baseball product to have it be played that way. We had, like, every at bat go to 12 pitches and walks and strikeouts and, you know, hit like, bleh. Like, it Maybe the computers and the analytics said that's the best way to win a baseball game, but that was not the best way to enjoy a baseball game. Baseball got boring in an era of society when, man, you cannot be boring or people are not going to pay attention to you.
I didn't know. I really don't know, for me at least, as a fan watching the games, if the long at-bats, as far as like 12 pitch at-bats and fouling off a ton of pitches, if that was really the issue for me. What I got fed up with were those players that would step out of the box after every mm-hmm. pitch and readjust their batting gloves, and then they would do it again and over and over and over again. That got old to me. And so I do like the idea that we're going to be speeding that process up. You're going to have more action, kind of condensed into a shorter time period. I don't think it's going to be perfect. I think that we're going to have some times where, there's going to be some growing pains with this pitch clock. And there've been some examples during spring training of, even a game decided based on the pitch clock, which, it is what it is, and players are going to adjust to it. There was another situation not that long ago, and I don't remember what team it was, where I think it was the Yankees. It was Nestor Cortez pitching just recently, and he didn't establish eye contact with the batter before he pitched, and so he was given an automatic ball, which is weird to me. Like, there are some weird kind of, interesting, minute things in the process that are going to have to be worked out.
Well, yeah, we're always going to get ump shows in baseball, right? I mean, that part's not going away. But I do think, like, I am optimistic on this, but I just imagine this world where we're playing games and, 2.5 hours and everything's moving quickly, and how much enjoyment we take in a fast moving baseball game, right? Like, there's not much better than when you're in and out of a baseball game and you're like, man, that only took two and a half hours, whatever. That feels good, right? It feels good to watch pitchers pitch quickly and move the ball around and put it in play and watch amazing defense and all those things. We said we would make some picks. Let's make some picks, Tommy. Let's make some predictions for the baseball season. I think we just start with like World Series. Let's think of a World Series. I'll be bold in mine. I'm going to start with, this is the year that the Mariners make and win the World Series.
What? No
way. I love
their
rotation.
No
chance. I love their rotation, and I love their young lineup. And obviously, that's a bold pick. They're not a favorite. They're near the top, though. But Luis Castillo, Robbie Ray, Logan Gilbert, and George Kirby in that rotation. And, they're saying they're not going to put Kirby on a pitch limit this year. I really, really like their rotation. And I think they've got an underrated lineup with, Julio Rodriguez, who's going to be in the mix, if all things hold true to his rookie year, to like an MVP caliber player. Jared Selenik is an up. I think there's a lot of upside there. I love that stadium, and I think that fan base is cool. And I know they're in the AL West, and I'm a Rangers fan, and that doesn't make any sense, because I think the Rangers have a chance to, overachieve a little bit this year too. But the Mariners are my bold, bold hot take prediction on the baseball season, that this is the year they finally, but they've been, I think they're the longest team now without making a World Series appearance. And I think this
who do you got them playing in the World Series then?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably the Padres. That was going to be my other, the Padres aren't a bold prediction anymore, because I have Mariners and Padres in the wildest, predicted World Series. Maybe I'll go find a way to predict that World Series. But the Padres, I think this is a year that, with the Dodgers rotation in some chaos at the moment, that the Padres could come through and sort of swoop in there. Fernando Tatis will be, he'll be back sooner than later. So I'll say Mariners over Padres in a World Series. Nobody else will probably predict, and maybe I need to get over to BetMGM and see if I can figure out a way to bet that exact World Series. I think that you can do that. I got to figure out how to do it, but the odds would be large if that were to happen.
Just throwing your money away. Throwing your money away. I mean, that's fine. If you want to do that, you want to write that check that you're not going to get cashed, okay, be my guest.
Save this audio, Jad, so I can rub it in. All right, smart guy. Would you go ahead and pick your Braves like everybody else?
I mean, this one's really difficult for me because even if I, and I do genuinely think that the Braves are the best team in the National League, but if I pick them, it's not going to hold any water because I'm a fan, right? You know, so I was going to say if there was going to be a team that could take down the Braves in the National League, it would probably be the Padres, but you already picked the Padres. That leaves me with the Braves. So I'm going to have to say the Braves are the National League champion. And you know what? I don't really see a reason, any reason in the American League why the Astros won't be back. I mean, why?
Because
they're
terrible and we hate them.
Well, I mean, come on. Like, let's take the fan blinders off for a second here. Like that, they are.
Nope.
They're a dominant team. They're a dominant team in Major League Baseball. They won it all last year. They were in it the year before. They have shown no signs of slowing down, in my opinion. I think the Astros will be back. I think the Braves will be the National League representative, and I think the Braves win it again. I mean, I think that they have the chance to win the World Series this season. I'm going Braves and Astros.
Bunch of dirty, rotten cheaters they are. I think baseball is the hardest sport to predict, by the way, because weird things happen. The playoffs are really tricky, and teams over and underachieve all the time in baseball. Now, the Astros are as consistent as we have right now, right? The Astros and the Dodgers. So it will take some injuries or something, but I don't think there's ever a foregone conclusion in baseball. For instance, like, you're pretty confident in the NFL that the Chiefs, like, to me, saying that the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl the last few years is safer than saying the Astros. And I know it's hard to get there in the NFL and all that, but just from like a predictive standpoint, like if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, you like the Chiefs' chances, right? The Astros in baseball, any team, like you do have to have a lot go right in a year, right? Things change so much, and it's, you know, yeah, it's because of injury, but it's just baseball's weird like that. And that's why I love baseball, right? Like everybody, and we talked about it off the top, everybody feels like they got a shot on opening day. If you're, you know, depending on whatever NFL team you root for, if you're a fan of that team or in the NBA, you know your team doesn't have a shot. Like, you know they don't have a shot. You can't really say that in baseball. Everybody kind of does have a shot at the beginning of the year because more than any other sport, we have surprise teams every year.
Let's talk about the Braves for a second, though. Last season, Michael Harris Jr., who ended up being the Rookie of the Year, and Spencer Strider both debuted in the month of May. From June 1st on, the Braves played on a win pace of 112 wins. They were the best team in baseball from June 1st onward for the entire rest of the season. Now, things get unpredictable in the playoffs. The Phillies made the World Series last season, and you know, so anything can happen, you know, in the playoffs. And nobody, I think, expected the Phillies to be in that position, last season. So, you know, it is what it is. But as far as having the overall body of work and the roster, and, you know, Chelsea Messenger talked about it last hour, you know, they've got a guy that, you know, could easily win the MVP this season in Ronald Acuna. Ozzie Albies is healthy. They've got a great rotation. They've got a franchise catcher in Sean Murphy. I mean, Matt Olson, like, it's an embarrassment of riches for the Braves. And again, I know I'm a fan, and so I know that my analysis is falling on deaf ears, but I wholeheartedly believe that they can win it again this season.
I think that the Braves are great. I think they're prime for regression. I used to not like the Braves. I don't feel that way anymore because I think that the way that they've built this team is so awesome. And they're like, to me, they're the gold standard of how to do it. And the Astros did it to some degree in this way too, but the Braves didn't have to go out and suck right for a lot of years to just continue to have good draft picks and do all those things. They were aggressive in paying young players and locking them up early, and they've sort of started that model. I like what the Braves are doing. I do feel like, though, there is some room for them to come back down to earth a little bit. Like, look, if all those young players continue to develop that way, good for them. But it just is so unlikely in baseball, historically, for that to happen.
Hey, I do think, too, and relating it back to the Royals, I think that the path that the Braves have taken with their young core of superstars, I think there's a way that the Royals can replicate that. Not exactly to the extent of the Braves, because I think that the Braves have a larger budget to spend and that sort of thing than the Royals do. But the Royals have a pretty talented young crop of at least hitters, you know, and so being able to try to find ways to lock those guys up and, you know, keep that core, you're going to need to see the development this season for the Royals. But I think that that's a model that you could look at trying to replicate.
Yeah, everybody would like to replicate it. And the hardest part about that is identifying the right players. And they've done a really good job at that. And look, if you're a team like the Royals, I don't think it's unreasonable that with the thought of a new ballpark like the Braves did and some talented young players, that could be a model that the Royals could achieve. Now, they have to develop players the right way and identify them. But I don't think, you know, Atlanta is a much bigger city than Kansas City. But as far as like baseball franchises with a new stadium, I don't think it's unreasonable to hope that the Royals can take that same sort of model and lock up young players and sort of build this foundation to move forward. I think that that's a decent bar to shoot for. Like, they're not going to do things the same way the Mets do them or the Yankees or the Dodgers or anything like that, or even the Padres these days. But I think you could hope for something like what the Braves have done if you're a Royals fan.
I think so, too. I think that hope is there. I saw, of course, all these different media outlets are giving their predictions, you know, for the season and win-loss predictions for all the teams in Major League Baseball. USA Today Sports, I saw just a little while ago, they have the Royals, their win-loss record, projected win-loss record at 65-97. I think it's going to be better than that. At least I would like to hope that it's better than that. But they've got the Royals in dead last in the AL Central, only 65 wins. I think they can overachieve a little bit past that. I'm not suggesting that they're going to be a 500 team or even a wild card playoff team, but I do think we're going to see some improvement from that.
Well, we talked about this when we talked about the Royals more extensively earlier this week. You can always go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. I think for the Royals, the key will be to remain in relative contention for the wild card into like August, right? Like if you're a fan and they're within, let's say, I don't know, 5 games of the last wild card spot in the American League throughout most of the summer, that'll feel pretty good this year. Now, that may ultimately only end up as a 75-77 win team, but I think that's what you hope for this year, right? A reason for games to matter longer into the season. And who knows, again, when you've got a whole new staff and you've got, you know, everybody excited about, you know, the new leaders in that clubhouse and developing these young players, again, anything can happen. We see it every year in baseball. There will be a team that surprises us this year in baseball. Sure, that could be the Royals.
And I wonder, you know, there are a couple of players that signed minor league deals with the Royals that made the big league squad. The Royals just released their opening day roster. Jackie Bradley Jr. is on it. Franmil Reyes is on it. A couple of guys that, you know, obviously are new to the team. They're veterans. They bring a little bit of a veteran presence. And you never know. They could be nice contributors this season for the Royals.
Well, the Royals bring in those guys because they hope they are, and then that they can trade them at the trade deadline. They've been very good at that in recent years, getting those players in, giving them a second chance, making them valuable, and then flipping them for pieces. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More Sports Daily on this opening day, Thursday. Again, happy opening day to all those who celebrate. We'll be back with more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily. Royals put out their opening day lineup. Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez, Salvador Perez, Vinny Pascatino, Franmil Reyes, Michael Massey, Hunter Dozier, Kyle Isbell, and Edward Olivares get the nod today. Of course, Zach Greinke on the mound. You'll hear the game right here on KFH, home of the Royals. As always, looking forward to that this year. It's a pretty good, it's a respectable lineup, I think. Tommy, you certainly like the top four with Witt, Melendez, Perez, Pascatino, and then we'll see. I mean, I think there's a lot of unknown at the rest of the lineup, but that's what you roll out there this year for the Royals. I think it's all right.
Top four of the lineup that I would put up against maybe any other team in the American League. I like that a lot. Of course, We know that Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be able to play shortstop this season, so that's great. I don't know. I mean, I think that beyond Witt, Melendez, Perez, Pascantino, there can be some surprises. I'm kind of high on Franmil Reyes. I know that he, over the last couple of seasons, hasn't really lived up to, you know, what he did early in his career, but I think he's still got quite a bit of juice left, and so I like him in the starting lineup. We'll see what he can do. And then from there, you know, I think it's a lot of unknowns with Kyle Massey and Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell, Edward Olivares. We know about Hunter Dozier. You know, I'm kind of with you. It's an okay lineup. It's fine. It's not anything that's going to blow anybody away, but that's what the Royals are going to roll with.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's fine. They're going to need guys to overachieve. It's all about the development this year. Can that lead to more wins? Sure, it can. But we're excited about the start of the Major League Baseball season. You got games all day long, right? It's great. We'll have games starting at 12. Your Braves play at 12:05. And then you get just, you know, you get games all the way through till a 9 o'clock game.
Yeah.
The Guardians and the Mariners, the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. There's games on all day long. I love it. That's one of the great things about opening day. And we'll see. I'm honestly, Tommy, I'm as excited to see the rule changes as I am anything with baseball this year. I think they're significant. They're going to have a significant impact, a positive impact, and we are going to love it as we make our way through the season. And I really hope that I'm not wrong about that, because there's kind of no going back.
By the way, I'm going to give you my hot take for the day, for opening day.
Okay.
I honestly, personally, do not care whatsoever what the outcome of the Royals game is today. Just today's game by itself, they could get, I don't know, they could give up 10 runs, they could lose 10-0. I don't really care. They're wearing the powder blues, the tops and the bottoms.
Ooh.
And I cannot wait for that. I don't care what the outcome is. They're rocking that combo for the first time since the 80s. Man, I'm pumped. I cannot wait to see that in action.
How could they lose with that rolling out there? I don't know. 869-1240. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this Thursday edition of Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.